I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We need to put merit back into America in every sphere of our lives. I mean, merit who gets into this country? Let's start with that, okay? I think more people like my parents can be a good thing for this country. But people whose first act of entering this country as a law-breaking one, we should say a hard no to that. Not just who gets in, but also who gets ahead. Decimating affirmative action. It has been a national cancer. One of my top priorities will be to end affirmative action in every sphere of American life. And it's not just meritocracy and who gets ahead.
Ending affirmative action.
Yes.
I mean, our whole government is based on that idea.
Well, the funny thing, Tucker, is this would be an easy thing for a president to do. Lyndon Johnson issued an executive order that requires anyone who does business with the U.S. government, that covers over 20% of the U.S. workforce, to adopt race-based quota systems. Any Republican president since Lyndon Johnson could have taken a pen and crossed that out. We haven't done it yet. I think that's the kind of courage we're going to need to muster.
Yes.
To go after these sacred cows from woke religion in the form of affirmative action to this new climate religion, which is completely shackling the American economy and culture. We need to take the most sacred cows of these alternative secular religions, and I'm sorry to say this, take them to the slaughterhouse.
That's a bold statement. This is Feb 22, 2023. The statement coming from Vivek Ramaswamy. I'll get it right. I better get it right. He could be your next president. Ramaswamy. As he was on Tucker Carlson last night. He has been named in a New Yorker profile last year the CEO of anti-woke. And Politico called him one of the intellectual godfathers of the anti-woke movement. So he's throwing his hat into the ring. His parents came to the U.S. legally from India. He is now the second such ethnicity from India to enter the race. Nikki Haley, of course, ahead of him. The only other announced candidate at this point is Donald Trump. Donald Trump, you know where he was today? He was in East Palestine, Ohio. He showed up delivering truckloads of bottled water, said, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, stay away. The real president is here taking care of the citizens. You just make sure those Ukrainian pensions are taken care of. So Buttigieg was on a CBS interview and asked, you said you'd go when the time is right. What?
You have said that you would visit East Palestine when the time is right, but it's been 2 weeks since this derailment. When is the time right?
So I'm planning to go, and when I do, it will be focused on action, not on politics, not on show. In the early days, I have been respecting the role that the independent NTSB plays and staying out of their way. But we are now entering the policy phase of our response to this. And even as NTSB continues finalizing their work, this is the right time for us to be looking at immediate steps from USDOT.
Yeah, so much word salad, and bottom line is, he's still not there. Biden may show up before the end of the week. Trump is on the ground now. Now, can they do anything with her there? Not necessarily, but it's the image showing that we're here, we're concerned, we're aware of it. And our transportation secretary acknowledges, yeah, I kind of blew that. I should have said something earlier. So we have issues, of course, as we have our president returning from his trip to Ukraine. And now there's been a piece of information coming out that Russia, under Putin, has designs not just on Ukraine, but on Belarus. In fact, the report that got released or leaked or intended to be public gives even a timetable.
According to a document obtained by Yahoo News, which has not been independently verified by NBC News, Putin's government has plans to take full control over Belarus within a few years. Quote, according to the document issued in the fall of 2021, the end goal is the formation of a so-called union state of Russia and Belarus by no later than 2030.
2030. You want to do the math? 2023, 2030, 7 years or less. China is meeting with Russia. What are they planning? Are they exchanging recipes? Are they talking about what do we do about the U.S. and the Western world? And in their own little minds, they have to be worried about the one sitting across from them. Putin looking at Premier Xi, and the Chinese premier is looking at Putin. You get into this dogfight, there are no rules. Our issue in this country is, do we have leadership to face what's not on the horizon, but right now? Do you have faith that this government under the Biden administration is showing enough cojones to make it clear that we will stand with NATO countries if you come near them? Because the idea from the leaked information about taking over Belarus would eventually be to then, of course, threaten Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland, all members of NATO. Do we have any leadership? Let me take you back in time where you found a real leader. June 1987.
Behind me stands a wall that encircles the free sectors of this city, part of a vast system of barriers that divides the entire continent of Europe. From the Baltic South, those barriers cut across Germany in a gash of barbed wire, concrete, dog runs, and guard towers. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That is, of course, President Reagan, his speech in June 1987. By November 1989, the wall came down. Leadership. We have a new study concerning the brains of deceased NFL players. Dr. Rick Lehman will join us discussing that report. And I want you to pay attention, because while we're talking about pro players, it could affect your kids and your grandkids. We have a lot to cover. It's all coming up. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook.
Walking through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the drum began to swing. You should have heard the locked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in old sailboat was dancing to the jailhouse rock.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There's a new study from the Boston University Center announcing that they have now diagnosed 345 out of 376 NFL players studied. 345 had head trauma caused by playing the game. And they cannot determine this until they're dead. They have to look at the brain. Dr. Rick Lehman with the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine has a lot to do with athletes preparing and taking care of themselves, and he's up to speed on this stuff. But first of all, this, on one hand, this report isn't that surprising, but we're talking about 90%+ in this report, Dr. Rick. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think the other thing that you didn't mention is that less than 1% of the population has CTE. So if you take 100 people randomly from St. Louis and you study them after they've been dead, you look at their brains, less than 1% are going to have CTE, and 90%+ of football players are going to have CTE. And Dr. Omalu, who sort of was the grandfather of CTE, the pathologist, basically found 96%. So these studies are all consistent time after time, high 90s. So what does it tell you? It tells you, number one, if you're an NFL football player, the chances are very, very much in your favor you're going to get CTE. Who doesn't get CTE is the kickers and the placeholders, but all the position players get CTE. And the second thing it tells you, and this is to our listeners, if you have a son or maybe a daughter playing contact sports and you're playing high school football, what's the incidence of CTE in the high schooler? And right. That's more of a problem.
And what? And do we have any brain studies on high schoolers that were playing football or soccer? Anything that shows us actually what the status is?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So the answer is probably 60-65% have some element of grade 1 CTE to grade 2 CTE. So it starts very early. You don't just get it when you get to the NFL. It probably starts in high school, gets a little worse in college, and then is full-blown. And again, you know, the concern is that these kids are getting this very early. And if your son, and again, I hate to say just son, but son or daughter is playing contact sports, playing high school football, that's the beginnings of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, head trauma, dementia, whatever you want to call it.
Now, I'm glad you pointed that out, because we know that numerous players, they're in a game. We see them take a hit, and now the protocols, they take them off, evaluate them, and then maybe they don't let them back in the game, or maybe they decide they can do some basic. Tell me the tests they do give them. I mean, they're checking the eyes and everything else. What are they doing on the sideline to try to determine if the player is capable of going back into the game?
Well, first of all, that's a good question. They have a baseline neuropsych test. So they've asked them all these questions and done all these studies when they were quote-unquote normal, you know, in training camp. And then they take them to a quiet place, and they ask them four or five questions. And they ask them to count back from 100. They look into their eyes and see if they have something called the stagnus, fluttering of the eyes. And they ask them, do they remember the play? They ask them who their mother is. They ask them what the date is. And there's 8 or 10 standard questions, 4 or 5 stud tests. And if they're off of their baseline, and they have their baseline in the iPad or the chart or whatever, it's iPad, then, you know, they're not supposed to go back in the game. Now, there's a little politics going on there. So if that's Patrick Mahomes in the third quarter of the Super Bowl, he's probably going to pass the test. If it's Rick Lehman, who's a third string, you know, punter, well, no one really cares if I pass the test or not. So maybe they say he's got a concussion, he can't play.
Now, you were pointing out, obviously, that those on the front line, you know, that are actually engaged in the trenches, they're more likely to have it. And, of course, receivers and any time where you're actually having full contact, whereas kickers normally are protected, quarterbacks end up with it as well. And I want to stress again that your point being that it didn't just happen with one hit. I guess some could have, but generally it's accumulative over a period of time, and so maybe it was at a college level or even a high school level that they had something and it started. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% correct, but let me just point one more thing out, and this is really important. You don't have to have a concussion to get CTE. So they studied all these athletes, and a lot of these athletes, you know, they were hitting the tackling dummies, they were making tackles. They never had a documented concussion, but they, of course, had repeated head trauma, because you can't ram your head into somebody else who's running in the opposite direction and have nothing happen to your brain. So a lot of these athletes don't have concussions at all, but they have repeated head trauma. And again, to your point, this probably started in high school. Now, we're going to continue to study this, and as tests get more sophisticated, we're going to know exactly how much brain trauma or brain disease you have. And I think once we figure out that these kids in the 11th and 12th grades already are way on their way to having significant disease, you know, we're going to see a change in football.
Listen, well, we already have. We've seen a change in the protocol. We've seen a change in equipment and so forth. And I grew up in Texas, and that is a sport. I mean, you play that sport. I mean, when I came up here, I didn't really know that much about soccer, but it's all soccer primarily because it's easier to outfit a team and for a school to have a team. But repeatedly hitting the ball with your head, that's also going to lead to issues. And for girls and boys, and we're talking about they start often at, I think my girls have been playing soccer at 6 or 7 years old. I don't know if they're using headbutts to the ball, but they're also susceptible, correct?
Well, so that's the biggest cohort that's understudied and that has the most problems. Female soccer players from the ages of 11 to 17. Why is that? The skull is so soft. They're working on headers, and there's a direct relationship to heading the ball and standardized testing scores. So they measured, 100 kids. They said this kid had X amount of headers in practice, X amount of headers in the game. And then they did standardized testing, and they did this for 100 kids. And it was almost to the T, the number of head balls that you had showed a diminishment in your standardized test scores. So we know that in a young female, 11 to 17, hitting a soccer ball is hard. I don't know if you ever hit one in your head, but this is not a soft thing, is directly related to some type of brain trauma. And we're going to find out that, and I guarantee this, that these kids have early brain trauma, these high school and college soccer players. And I've got 7 or 8 patients that already have significant CTE. They're 20, 21 years old. They play high school soccer. They play little college soccer. And they already have significant pre-senile dementia or pre-dementia from hitting a soccer ball.
You know, my grandson originally, they were playing baseball, which I thought was better. But, of course, you could get hit. You know, but they have the helmet on. Now he went in football, and he's dedicating his time to that. And, again, coming from Texas, I kind of support it, but at the same time, I have some concerns about it. And there are so many sports where hockey is another one we have got to that you're going to have a lot of collisions like that. I want to move on to something else, though. There's a young girl that was apparently might have had some autism, ADHD, things of that nature, and she was able to keep her scores up because she could focus on track and things of that nature that gave her an outlet. She had a scholarship, but she had a coach that apparently for a year and a half or 2 years was fat shaming her, body shaming her, saying, you know, you need to lose weight, just and calling her horrific names, and even in an email to other colleagues, so it's documented. The young girl ends up committing suicide. Because that was her one outlet, and then he kicked her off the team so she could no longer participate. And her mother was even asking, this is how she actually stays focused on her studies. Can she not get back on the team? And he wouldn't take her. How many coaches out there might need to have their head screwed back on in a different way?
Well, so this is an old school problem. We see it more in gymnastics. We see it some in track. And again, you know, weight's a big issue in gymnastics. You're twirling around in the air. And I think there's ways to address this in positive ways instead of addressing it in a negative way. So this whole idea of, you know, quote unquote fat shaming, which of course is, you know, has gotten a terrible, rap, deservedly so in today's world. So first of all, this girl should have been let on the team to participate. She had significant disabilities. As you said, this was her outlet. And whether she could compete at a high level or not didn't make any difference. This for her life was a big deal.
I'm sorry, doctor. That's a big point right there. What's good for the child's life? Not the team, this child.
Right. Your point's well taken. So isn't that our job as coaches? I mean, is it just about winning or having – it's not. It's about – enrichment. This girl wasn't going to win a gold medal in the Paris Olympics. So what if she's on the team? You know, just like if I was I'm a third string kicker, I want to be on the team. So what? You know, I'm not hurting anybody. And I guess the bottom line turns out to be, isn't that the best thing for her? And couldn't the coach see that? So that's the first thing. Second of all, the girl's got disabilities. So telling her, and a lot of times these kids with disabilities have a lot of trouble with weight management because they have metabolic issues. So you know, this is everything wrong with sports, you know, trying to get the best team. And you know, if you have an extra person or two on the team and they're competitive and they're trying, isn't that what you want as a coach? So, again, everything is wrong with this story. And when I read the story, I just felt terrible because I think sports have really failed this girl.
And you have, of course, dealt medically with numerous pro players in football and hockey and, of course, also Olympians. And you've seen how they react to anything that suddenly they cannot be 100%. And they're already at a high-quality level, but now they're suddenly off a bit. I remember you having a discussion with me at one point that, you know, that, Larry, you got to be aware of how you feel because I don't participate in that level of sports anyway, but if you suddenly feel like you're not what you were, you start having second thoughts about everything, and especially if you're on a competitive level.
And you know, if you think about it, I mean, my day-to-day activities, I just had a pro athlete in here 2 minutes ago, right before your show. Tonight I'm going to have a two-hour conversation with the Olympic track team. And so how you feel, your mental outlook, your mental ability to deal with stress and issues is everything. So if every time something happens, you pull your hamstring, you go into a profound funk, you know, this is not going to work. So your outlook, your attitude, et cetera, is everything. And I just think, you know, in terms of somebody who's got other issues, disabilities, heavy, you know, someone who's got a high BMI, whatever, you have to paint a positive picture and go about it positively because, I mean, right away to give them the worst case scenario and say, I'm going to throw you off the team, that's treacherous.
Yeah, that doesn't do any good. Dr. Rick Lehman with U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, I do appreciate your input. I know the audience does, too, not only for their children, but coaches as well. Thank you very much for your time, as always, sir.
Thank you, Larry.
Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023. But Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. There is a great story about how John Beal Roofing got started. I encourage you to read it at their website, johnbealroofing.com. That 1947 story leads to three generations of the Beal family repairing, replacing roofs on homes and businesses. Read the story at johnbealroofing.com. And when you need roofing help, support my sponsor, John Beal. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, going back to our interview with Dr. Rick Lehman and how kids are treated sometimes by parents, coaches, other kids can have a traumatic effect upon them, and body shaming being one of those issues. And some use the term body shaming, and it's a cover word for fat shaming. There are some people that have a hard time controlling their weight, adults and children. So this shaming involves criticizing and harassing anyone overweight about their weight or their eating habits and either an intentional or unintentional effort, making them feel ashamed of themselves. Some believe that, well, that might motivate them to eat less, exercise more, lose weight. Many studies show in the majority of cases, those who fat shame others are often slim and they've never had to struggle with a weight issue. You know some people on either side of that scale? No pun intended. Research does show that much of the discussion on obesity on social media involves body shaming, fat shaming. It turns into harassment and cyberbullying, especially against women, especially against children, teenagers. In fact, there are entire online communities where people gather just to make fun of overweight people. That's not good. And in fact, in addition to maybe causing overweight people to eat more, it adds more stress to them. And of course, the other part of it is depression. Many who are discriminated against due to their weight are clearly at a higher risk of depression and other mental issues. As we were discussing with Dr. Lehman about the young girl who was being thrown off the track team, the coach kept saying, "You're overweight, need to lose weight, we're not going to let you even run." And yet for her, that was an opportunity to belong and be part of the school and gave her reason to study better. You have no idea sometimes what kind of luggage someone is carrying with them and what kind of day they've been having or they've had up to that point. And then you come along and make some crude, insensitive remark. And then there are those who thrive on doing that to other people. The depression can obviously lead to deep depression, but then also increased suicide risk. As in the case that we were talking with Dr. Lehman, the young girl did end up committing suicide after putting up with this for something like 2 years. She saw no other way out. Depression, one of the top causes for increased suicide risk. Obesity, often associated with suicidal behavior. And yet, this kind of game, or whatever it might be, to make someone make themselves feel better and someone else feel worse, it escalates to a point where it's extremely dangerous. If you know someone that is going through this, or maybe you yourself, professional help is needed. A suicide hotline is a start, a pastor, even a 911 call sometimes. We have reached the point in this nation that we're demonizing people for almost anything. And if they're already having a hard enough time coping with woke shouting at them, and now you're picking on something that they really can't control, maybe the way they look, not just in body shape, but some deformity that you don't have, that you can call them out, the impact can be severe. All ages are subject to body shaming, but it is especially hard on kids. So watch for these signs of depression. Get yourself help if you need it, or someone else when they need it. Our kids are so precious to us, and yet sometimes we're just dismissing them. Pay attention. And speaking of kids, we certainly expect, if they attend schools in a major city, if they're not indoctrinating our kids or doing a good or at least a decent job of educating our kids. Here's proof that's not true. So this story, I want you to pay attention to this part of it. This is a Democrat raising this issue, a Democrat. Illinois State Senator Willie Preston, discussing a report that I'm going to share with you in a moment about students and their proficiency in math and reading. And he's upset because of this point. He said $9.4 billion was allocated to Chicago's public school budget by the state in the fiscal year 2023. $1.8 billion allocated to Chicago public schools by the American Rescue Plan. His question now, that's $9.4 billion, $1.8, let's just round off the $1.8 to, that's $11.5 billion. And his question is, where the hell did the money go? His question specifically is, what happened to all that money? Why was it not used to facilitate having, for example, an assistant in every classroom if needed? Now, I don't know if that would solve anything, but what he's trying to say is we need to investigate. His words, this is a Democrat. We should investigate where those dollars went, not investigate those dollars just to put people in a bad situation, but to improve our schools. So, again, I think it's something that is the fiduciary responsibility of myself and my colleagues that it's something we should do. But, again, I think we should always remember that the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot's position, was to keep our schools open. And all of this is a direct result of that. If you think about it, he said when a kid comes from summer school, from summer break, many of the teachers would tell you through the year they have summer learning loss. He said what we're experiencing is COVID learning loss. So that's one way to explain this next step that he's coming up with. He said if we'd use that money properly, if it'd been used, it would maybe help these students. What is the issue with these students? Here we go. Findings from the Illinois Department of Education's 2022 data show that in 55 of the Chicago public schools, and my boots on the ground reporter correspondent Andrew has often pointed out some of this as he's witnessed his kids going through school, but that 55 of the city's public schools were zero proficient in math. Zero. 30 more schools, I guess that's in addition to the 55, said they had no students skilled in reading at their grade level. And the survey is pulled together from the Illinois Department of Transportation by Wire Points, stated, defenders of the current system are sure to invoke COVID as a big reason for the low scores, which you just heard the Democrats say. While he wants to investigate where the money went, he said it may be this COVID learning loss while they had the COVID issues going on, and Mayor Lori Lightfoot wanted the schools there, but the unions wanted them shut down. You have kids that are zero proficient in math and reading? There's an underlying issue. It has nothing to do with summer recess or COVID recess. Shameful. Shameful.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We have listeners from all over the nation listening either through our app or online streaming or Rumble, watching our live Rumble stream. And some of you already know what I'm getting ready to share because you're caught in the midst of it already. The National Weather Service is describing a major coast-to-coast winter storm. They say it's going to bring historic snowfall to the Minneapolis region. But it's going to be heavy snow, sleet, freezing rain across the western and northern tier portions of the U.S. Extreme impacts are likely. Historic snowfall possible near Minneapolis, as I said. And again, they have now dubbed this. We give hurricanes names. Now we're going to give some of these. We've been doing storms like this. They're calling it Winter Storm Olive. What? Where do you come up with something like that? Well, you spin the wheel, and if it ends on a particular vegetable, Winter Storm Carrot coming next time. Watch out for that one. I'll take the olive. I'll even take the carrot. But when you come to Winter Storm Asparagus, I'm out of here. But this is going to be pretty bad, apparently, affecting nearly 50 million people. So if you have residents, friends, neighbors in that region, it's going to be bad. They're talking about heavy snow rates of 1 to 2 inches an hour. Wind gusts of 40 to 50 miles an hour, creating blizzard conditions. Impossible travel, power outages. It's going to be across the west and adjacent high plains, reaching into mid-America, but primarily north of Missouri, it appears, at this time. Well, after all, we're still in winter, right? I'm going to find that groundhog, and I'm going to put him down. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.